grant it, Lord.
It may bring healing to our souls, Lord. Upon hearing the word, it may produce, Lord, the encouragement that we need this morning.
Yes,
in
Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank you, dear Lord. Amen.
Amen. So I'll request Brother Mansa today to interpret from here. Or if possible, instead of this, maybe we can use Now, during the last prayer and fasting, there was a prayer request given by one sister that God helps us with interpreting. So that no one leaves this place not sufficiently fed because of poor interpreting. Now, that is profoundly important. Those who know English, they can be very comfortable, but we want the way you fully understand everything which is spoken, it should be the same way to the other people who don't rely on English. So now the challenge is, we need to do proper interpreting here. But again, there are many believers around the world who rely on these sermons. Let me read this request. You understand why I said maybe Brother Mansa interprets from here. This request came actually last year on 18th August. So this brother wrote, "Good evening, sir, and happy Sunday. I am Brother Matthew Ogunrinde from Pastor Billy Joseph's church in Nigeria." Brother Matthew. "Please, sir, I would like to advise that the volume given to your interpreter should be increased. So that when you speak your local language," so, you know, when I'm preaching in English, there are those portions where I speak in vernacular. You know what I mean? You find I'm preaching in English, but there are those portions where I speak a little vernacular. So what this brother is saying is, we want to hear even those portions you are speaking in Nyanja. We don't get them properly. So his assumption is, every time I speak in vernacular, he thinks the interpreter speaks in English. So he says, raise the volume of the interpreter so that whenever you speak in local, the interpreter can be speaking in English so that we hear everything. Okay, so that when you speak your local language and the interpreter interprets it in English, we can hear and understand what you speak in the local language. God bless you, sir. So you can see that it's why we need to put a lot of work on interpreting. It's not just affecting us, it's affecting many believers out there. If they are even worried about the little pieces we speak in vernacular, they want to hear even those things, it means for this audience, those who understand vernacular, we need to do even a much better job. That also tells you must pay attention to the preaching. Because this is coming from overseas, right? It would be a shame you walk out of the service and the word of God is not impacting you. So when we come in the house of God, we have an appointment with God and we need to come ready with expectation. So those who depend on the interpreter so far, are we okay? Those who are saying the interpreting is good, may I see your hands? So far. All right, thank you. Those who are saying it's bad, sumuna kutile. Okay, so that means we are good so far. Now, let me just mention, I wanted to talk about five announcements. Before we go to the announcements, I think there's a testimony. In the morning, I'd received a prayer request from South Africa. Yeah, there is a brother, he had written, Shalom, precious brother, praise the name of the Lord. Shalom, precious brother, please remember us in your prayers. Our precious child is very sick and the doctor doesn't see nothing. Okay. So, we took time to pray. And later he responded, Shalom, precious brother, praise the name of the Lord. He is already started to play. I believe that he is well in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, healing is really about your faith. Do you have faith? So you could also have a prayer request. Well, if you have faith that the presence of God is here, then God will help you. But if you are casual about it, well, it will do you nothing. A person who is very far away will receive their blessing. You receive nothing. But I want to believe we have gathered with faith this morning. Now, I wanted to talk about the grass, kapinga. How many can say the grass looks beautiful? It looks beautiful. It's a beautiful sight, right? We want it to continue looking like that. So for it to continue looking good like that, let us avoid making walk paths there, stepping there, you know. So now we have extended the planting all the way this side. Yeah, so let us avoid walking there. Let us use the walk paths when walking. The second thing is about litter. I think we are children of God. So when there is an instruction given, let us abide by that. This goes to the parents. We have a lot of children who go and buy things from the shop there. That's not Asha's responsibility. It's your responsibility as a parent. Now, Asha's, let's help each other this way. Every time you see a child go there, take note of which child is that and take note of the parent. Call the deacons to sit down with the parents of that child. Are we together? If it is the big boys, call the big boys, sit him down, call the elders, the deacons. On a Sunday, no one should be heading to buy things from the shop. Let children know when we come to church, we've come to pray and worship, not to come and buy snacks. Remember, the behavior you tolerate them right now, they'll grow with that. You give them offering and they won't use the offering, they'll go and use it at the shop there. So ushers, intensify your work. When you see a child walking out of that door, let another usher stand outside to see what the child is doing. They'll tell you, I'm going to the toilet, but actually they are heading to the shop. That is gross indiscipline. So when they buy these snacks, they litter the church. So after Sunday service, you find litter everywhere. I believe we can manage to do away with that. Amen? Yeah, we can manage to do that. Then finance committee, we request you, can we have bins for the church? Suppose there's a little piece of paper. We need about two bins, one at the entrance, one somewhere there. This is a place of worship, and we want to have it as a beautiful place of worship. Amen. Yes. So let's help each other on that. And then finance and accounting committee, I would love to meet you after the service. We want to do two things after the service. We need to create a maintenance policy. Thanks to Brother Tenson, who's really been hard on this. Maintenance policy means we need to have a program. The way we have painted, we painted, eh? It does not mean the paint will look like this after 1 year. It's becoming dirty, but we can't observe it. So, as a church, we need to agree to say we shall be painting the church maybe every after 1 year or after 1 year, 6 months. We need to have a program where whatever money is coming, we know this amount of money is towards the maintenance of the church. When you don't have a maintenance policy, a door handle will be broken and we'll get used to it there. You understand that?
The handle will be broken and it'll be just saying, yeah, that's how it is. Let's just push it like that.
That is lack of maintenance. So we now have a brother who works full time here in doing secretarial works and online. We can attach as part of his duties to take note of anything which is not working properly so that it is worked on through the maintenance fund. If a bulb is no longer working, it needs to be replaced within that week. You've seen how Boma is. When they are commissioning a new hospital, a new police station, everything looks nice, painted nicely. Five years down the line, you can't recognize the place that it once looked good and nice. You know what causes that? No maintenance program. So, finance committee, let's define the policy today. We'll look at the dates to say, okay, what things need maintenance? Painting, maybe doors, and whatever it is. Then we agree on how often this thing has to be checked and all such things. Even instruments. We need to agree. Every after 3 months, a technician has to come to check them and ensure they are working right. I was checking on them and the team was telling me, oh, the drums, this thing was broken. This thing is no longer working properly. The speakers, the tweeters, they need to be worked on. So, the maintenance program has to cover instruments, has to cover anything which is a utility here. Because things become expensive to repair at once. But when we know that, oh, this door stopped working, what can we do? It will be worked on. Amen. Okay, that's the finance committee. We'll talk about that after the meeting. Let me talk about cell meetings. Every Friday, we meet in our homes. So you find this time it's at Brother Mansa's place, the next one Brother Kashala's place. So now every area has a cell meeting. Us who are in Lusaka West, we meet every Friday. Those who are in Mtendere, I don't know if you are still meeting, you need to meet. Let me explain the reason for a cell meeting. Tikakumana mwamene takumanirana pano.
If we meet the way we have met today,
Bungwe ni ikulu maningi.
This group is very big.
Sinizaziwa vuto yamene mpitamo o kapena.
I don't even know what problem you are going through.
Ni testimony bwanji yamene muli nayo.
What testimony do you have?
Chifukwa ni Bungwe ikulu mwamene takumanirana.
This is a big group here.
Tiza kumana 2 hours, later on, tiza enda kumanyumba.
Meet 2 hours and later on go to our homes.
Now, cell meetings is to allow smaller groups in the same area to meet. It's a way of visiting each other. That is why in the cell meetings, every person gives what we call help fund. Each person at the end of the month gives 20 kwacha. Actually, we need to raise it to 50 kwacha. The purpose of that, when one is in a problem, hospital, or whatever emergency, they need to be helped out of the help fund. Now, you find someone doesn't go for cell meeting. Someone doesn't give help fund. When a problem happens in your home, you find believers don't know about it. Are we together? So, do whatever you can to belong to a cell meeting. That is where you will be known to say, oh, tiliko na wana wama bwera kuchachi.
Ati, in that meeting, that's when we know to say we have this and that, they come to church.
They will know you. When they visit the home, they will know, oh, panyumba, cell meeting enze kwawa, ero kwenze patient. People will know you beyond the Sunday service the way we've met.
At Wake Shiva, people know to say, oh, there was this person even at the problem, actually. So,
in case Kumtendere East Kuliva Dwala, let's say Sister Mlenga is sick in Mtendere East.
Sister
Mlenga,
she's sick, for example.
The ones
who are supposed to know are believers from there.
Manje chizapanga sense wa Sister Mlenga wa Dwala, then wa brother Mwansa wa driving ye, kuchoka kuno, kuyenda kumtendere East.
And now it's going to make sense, Sister Mlenga, she's sick there, then brother Mwansa drives all the way from there to go to Mtendere East.
Vizapanga sense yipo?
Is it going to make sense?
Nanga ma believers wali pafupi kuja, waziwa na?
What about the believers who are there? Do they know each other?
Watandalira na?
Do they even visit each other?
So, ngatukulibe cell meeting, muzankara chabe mukumana kuno, but sumu zivana wali pafupi.
If there's no cell meeting, you just be gathering here at church, but you don't even know each other.
Because kulima problems ya machitika ya kutiafanika ma believers.
There are problems which happens, which needs believers.
Ma believers wali kwa pafupi.
Believers who are nearby.
But if your first line of contact is just people within your family circles, it means there is no social glue among the believers. I believe we can do better. Amen. So let's work on those things. Cell meeting, you don't have to be a big group. If you are three, you are four, gather on Friday to talk about the Sunday sermon, to talk about what the Lord is dealing in your lives. Today you are in this home, another day you are in another home. Don't say, ah, people at my home, they don't believe in God or they don't come to our church. In Mtendere, way before my mother started coming to Pentecostal Holiness Church, the holiness people used to gather at home. She used to allow them. You don't know what blessing that will bring in your home. You don't say, oh, my house is too small. Too small for who? It's a blessing for believers to gather in your home. Wena kunyumba kwanu sitizi wako na kuziwa kuti karibu jaga uhuti tibwele tinkale na mapempera. That's not right. It's you to invite believers to say, let the gathering be in my home. This right. In here we are all brothers and sisters. Open your home for prayers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Not de madwara tambosaki la GPS. To many WhatsApp location.
Send the location. Where is the location?
That's not a good thing. Then kosa zipatula to say ine wakalibu ni tandarirako.
Don't put your
count yourself among believers. To say, brethren, I need prayers in my home. Be part of the family. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I remember in holiness, I used to see people attend cell meetings from home to home, and they just used to bypass us because they took it. We are children. But one day I approached the deacon as a small boy. I said, you need to meet in our home also. He said, but will your parents allow it? I said, yes. And they started coming. Well, that time my mom never used to go to holiness, none of our family. But I believe those things had an impact. Amen. So I encourage you to do that. And finance committee, please, can you encourage cell meetings to revive help fund? There was one time we used to take this seriously. I remember one time we had a funeral. We never requested for contributions from anyone. We used what was in help fund. So let's do that. Okay, the last thing I wanted to talk about is the forthcoming crusade. So there was an issue. Brother Nzima needed to settle it out with his family, but the good news is they've concluded, they've agreed. Brother Tenson was telling us about the importance of giving. It is true. But giving is a revelation. You can't be forced to do that. This crusade will need resources, money. It could be around
300,000.
A crusade is not a simple meeting. Because we have people get on bus from here going to the venue. There'll be the issue of hiring a proper sound system. And by faith, we are constructing the foundation. Like what we do when we're having a crusade, the stage, we make it as a foundation for the church. That's what works as a crusade stage. Those things are not cheap. But the good news is our God is not poor towards such things. He provides. And that is through people who have the revelation. And what the brother was saying is true. When you see the work of God, I remember years back when we used to gather at a classroom, That time I was at the university. We would be given money for bursary. As my contribution, I would take a portion out of an already small amount of money to give towards church rent. That would throw us in problems of having hunger at the university. Other brothers were doing peace works. None was working in our midst. But out of the lack, we still would strive to see what we could do for us to rent. Well, when I look back, I am a testimony that God is faithful. What you sow, you shall reap. That was done not because giving is an obligation, but it was done out of the heart. Shall we stand? We are continuing with unto Timothy the preacher. And we are in chapter 4. This is the last chapter. But today we'll cover it up to we'll go through up to verse 6. Up to verse 8, I think. Yes, we'll go up to verse 8, and then we'll have another service where we'll finish the other half of the chapter. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, we say, take over now and speak to our hearts, Lord. We don't want human thoughts to be spoken because they are unprofitable. But we desire that, Lord, you reveal thyself through the reading and the ministration of your word. Forgive us of all things that make us fall short of what you desire of us, Lord. As this word goes forth, may it heal, may it deliver, may it revive. We stand, Lord, in your presence, desiring that you visit us. And your visitation, Lord, is through your word. Let none go back home the same, but let each and everyone receive that which you've prepared for them this morning, from the person speaking down to the person standing on the door. Let no mind be held captive by wrong imaginations and thoughts which are unprofitable, but let your word go forth and deliver. Let your word go forth and heal. Heavenly Father, we now bring every mind and thought under the subjection of the Lord this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1? I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated. So Apostle Paul, with authority, he tells Timothy, I charge thee, not in his personal authority, that would be an earthly, worldly thing. In the world, if you are in a company, and a secretary comes to give you a letter, maybe of dismissal or disciplinary letter, and the secretary comes and says, Mr. Piri, there's this disciplinary action which is being taken on you. The secretary can never speak in their capacity. But the secretary will bring that message in the authority of the one who is overseeing whatever employees are doing in that company. Even when they bring the letter, it could be the letter from the director. Now we see Paul here. He is giving an order to Timothy. And he's not giving it of his personal authority. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he saying before God and the Lord Jesus Christ? That is to give him a sobering warning. That this thing we are speaking, Timothy, this is not the two of us talking. There is a God who is the giver of these gifts and ministries. This is not an administrative meeting where I say, you know, Timothy, you should do your work properly. No. But he says, as I write these things, I write them to you as a charge before God. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, God is invisible. No man can see him or ever will see him. But there is one authority God established here on earth. Among humanity and all things. Jesus Christ. He was the full expression of God's desire on earth. In Ephesians 4, verse 7 to 11, as he ascended, this Jesus gave gifts unto all men. Unto men. What are those gifts? Ministerial gifts, right? He gave gifts unto men. Some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those gifts don't originate from the men. It came from God. Right? And Jesus Christ is the one in whose hands these gifts have been placed. For distribution in the body of Christ. So he is the authority. So Paul is an apostle.
Paolo ni apostle.
Not in his own capacity, but by the calling of God. And so now he tells Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Why is he mentioning that? If to let Timothy know whatever work we are doing right now, let me tell you something. You know, when you are working at a company, you work with fear, right? Because there's a supervisor who keeps an eye on you. Some of you, your companies, when you move into the company premises, you log in, they show what time you've reported. Some banks even have cards you swipe for you to enter. So everything you do, you know it's being accounted for. Now, when you see someone goes every day for work at the same time early enough, oh, you can say that person is very committed. He is passionate about work. No, there is a possibility he is doing that not because he loves his work, but out of fear because of the physical systems in place. Because he knows if I go late, it will affect my salary. So, although he manifests obedience, it may not be out of the heart. It may be in order to conform to the procedures in place. And he or she may know that if I abrogate, it will affect my salary and I could be fired. Different works all around the world, they follow that system of supervision and ensuring someone follows the standard operating procedures. But there is one work. It seems to have immense freedom. It seems to some people one can even be an authority to themselves. I'm speaking of ministry gifts. Look at the way a pastor operates. There's no one who checks on him. Have you reported for work? Have you knocked off? Have you done everything diligently? But that's an illusion. That work does not mean it has a lot of freedom. It also has a great eye that is watching. And if one is careless, as a pastor or as an evangelist or whichever ministry, as a song leader, as a deacon or whatever God has given you, there's one great eye which watches how diligent we are in what we do. There may not be a supervisor who seems to be watching you. But Paul says, I charge you before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Meaning, this is to give Timothy a sobering reminder that what you do, there will be an assessment. Because Paul is in prison. Timothy is the one who is making journeys. Paul is not there to say, hey, Timothy, you're not working so hard. And no, that's not the way of ministry. That is why a man who is called by God needs to have an experience with him who has called him. That calling and the presence of God upon his life, that will be his supervision. He will feel the supervision in the heart. Even when he has a right to do something, he's not just doing it because is it right in the scriptures? No. He is fearful to do what is the will of the Lord over this. So this is not like working at a company. Your supervisor is all penetrating through your heart, through your soul. Even when you are alone, you will be shaking. We are talking about God called men. A man who gives himself a calling, he works for pay. He works upon eye service. Who is appreciating me? If he is in a place where no one is looking at him, he can do a wrong thing because no one is seeing him. How many watched the there's a movie link I sent in the church group. Did you see it?
Amen.
Ah, some Nigerians put that movie, you know. They call it Prophet Suddenly. How many have watched Prophet Suddenly? Ah. Now, when we look at those things, they seem so extreme and say, oh, do these things happen? Believe me, they are happening among charismatic circles, where people do staged miracles and they even believe that we are helping God to increase faith in people. And after the service, after all the drama they do behind, they sit down to discuss how much offering came through. It's a money-making scheme. People have been turned into merchandise, commodities. What is strange is how people can be brainwashed into that. And hey, I haven't just seen it on a movie. I've seen it with my eyes. There was one preacher from Congo many years ago. I don't know if Brother Chavula remembers that. He is praying for people. He is like prophesying. But whatever he was doing, he would sleep with some of these people. I don't know what he was doing. You find someone goes unconscious and, you know. And then three women reported this Congolese preacher to the police. The woman woke up realizing this man had slept with her, whatever they use. It's even possible they use anesthetic things which can put someone into a faint or sleep. On Sunday, this guy is preaching. Another day, dragging people and raping them. If you think that thing is in the movie, it's, I believe these things are happening. But the question is, what would make a person preach in the pulpit or lead in songs or even stand as an usher in the house of God and be involved in dirty, filthy things? What would cause that? Simply one thing. There is no fear of God in his heart. To him, church is just another business. But there is God, he judges. When God is quiet, it does not mean he's not watching. But when his time to act comes, he'll give you a slap. It will shake your soul out of your body. People will come to console you. Those who don't know, they will even lay hands on you and they will put anointing oil. You know, there is a lot of sympathy people show because they don't know what happened. But whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. There's God who judges. You know, there are people in message circles who are ambitious to take on ministry work. They really desire that. If you really know what ministry work is, you will know it's not something to desire or to try to force yourself into. Because you need to have ears to hear the leading of the Lord. And many times you need to die to yourself and your flesh to give way to what does the Lord desire in this. But some people are so ambitious, even aspiring to be among the thunders. You know, when we were young in the faith, there are a lot of things we desired. But after walking through a calling, you know that no man should take anything upon himself unless the Lord gives it to you. Because you need to be ready to die and let the Spirit of God do everything. So someone calls himself a lead thunder. I'll tell you one thing. When prophecy is fulfilling, pray that you are very far away from that person whom the Lord is using. You know, when God raised Brother Branham, you know, the closest people who formed a very inner ring around him, the Pentecostals, they missed it. So if thunders will ever come, we don't want to be it to be here. Let God bring someone from afar. Because when I look at that ministry, those seven men will be dead men. Completely dead to human reasoning, something that God can pick and blow the trumpet through. And don't think they'll have an easy life for them to come to that place. Do you know what it took for God to raise the seventh messenger and what he went through? Read his story in the Supernatural, book 1. Do you know why Brother Branham went through what he went through? That was painful, almost wanting to kill himself. God was preparing him for that unique gift he was to carry. Imagine if you and I carried that gift. You see people's thoughts. God says, whatever you speak, I've given it to you. Before he could come to that place, he needed to be a vessel ready in the master's hands for the crucial work he had. That was a sign of a Messiah. That's no cheap gift. That wasn't a cheap gift. Sense. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at what Paul says in verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Okay, let me just read it, brother. Then I'll give you a simplified version. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, in another version, he says, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Yeah, that's good. Be ready. Whether the time is favorable or not, do the work of ministry. That's profoundly important. What does that mean? Work of ministry is not about the mood you are in. Am I in the mood to preach? The work of ministry is not about your feelings or your moods. It's reporting for duty. In South Africa, Brother Branham was sick with amoebas attacking him. But he was praying for the people and they were receiving their healing. In season, out of season, whether the condition is favorable, it's not favorable, you have to proclaim the word of truth. So you don't proclaim it when the situation is convenient. No. If I'm in an environment and I can see people are speaking wrong things or wrong doctrine, it's not about how convenient it is. I am a witness to speak when the Lord leads me to speak. Now, notice the three elements of things involved in ministry. He says, reprove. What is to reprove? It's to correct. Do you notice that out of these three things, the first two are things which are unpleasant? Reproof and rebuke. But that's the opposite today. People want exhort, exhort, encourage, encourage. No. Paul says reproof. Number two, rebuke. Number three, exhort. That's the last thing. Because in this world, our minds are constantly exposed to poison. Constantly exposed to wrong thought impulses. Do you know your body system is constantly fighting wrong things?
Do you know every day, even right now, my hands look clean, but before I touch food, I need to wash my hands, right? Is that correct? Brother Chavula will tell you there's bacteria here. You can see it. There's bacteria. My hands can look clean, but there's bacteria. They've already picked. If your eyes were to be zoomed in, you see ugly things here. What are they doing there? They want to survive for their life. But in doing that, they'll be injuring me. So, in case you think everything is peaceful, it's not everything peaceful about your body. Every time you wash your hands with soap, you are creating war, killing germs and bacteria. Your own physical body is in constant warfare, killing life forms which are threatening you. Even after you've eaten food, there is acid in the stomach. In case there is a dirty thing which somehow found its way inside you, there is an inbuilt mechanism in you to constantly fight. If the acid, maybe something has still managed to go through your system. In the blood system, there are white blood cells. Those are soldiers. Your body is a security apparatus. The white blood cells don't sleep. They are constantly detecting. Is there danger? Is there anything wrong? Because your eyes and your mouth, they pick what looks like food, and it looks like food. But even if it looks good food, believe me, you, there's bacteria there as long as it's been exposed. Oh, you try to warm it up, eh? Yeah? What are you doing? Warfare. There are things you are killing there if you were to see at their micro level. That's just the physical body. Now, this scripture we read also tells us to be always spiritually alert, because constantly there is a warfare raging around your mind. The way your mouth feeds, the mind also feeds by whatever it sees. On the mobile phone, there's something useful on the internet. On television, there's something useful. But there's also bacteria, there's also virus there. So the way your body system is equipped with a security mechanism, Apostle Peter also says, gird up the loins of your mind. Paul says, pray without ceasing. He says, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. What are the strongholds? What are these things? What are the viruses? What's the bacteria we are fighting? Don't think of a naked witch riding a broomstick on top. Those are fables. Warfare is right next to your mind. Paul says imaginations, thoughts. Those are things he's talking about. That's the food your mind feeds on every day. And if you don't have a security apparatus, we'll see you standing and walking and clapping hands, but you are a dead corpse. Because there is an invasion of bacteria and viruses. You know, when a malaria mosquito, the Anopheles, sits on your skin,
mosquito
You know what time they do that? They love to do it when you are asleep. They love it because your whole system is asleep, is inactive. So they'll come, a lot of them. This one is stinging here, there, there. If you were to come close and see what they're doing, they're throwing in very deadly thing in your system. And they wait when your mind is asleep, because they know when your mind is asleep, you won't chase them, you know? During the day, if you are awake, it will come and say, you do that, it goes away. You do that, it goes away. But when you are asleep, they come to bring in that poisonous thing in you. And when you wake up, it's not like you feel the sickness right there and then. You still be feeling good and you go about your normal day. But actually, serious